Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Would you please stand in honor of this reading? A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. May God bless the hearing of this scripture. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
On Thursday, November 19th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln gave the famous Gettysburg Address. It's known as his signature speech on the national ideals of liberty and human equality, and it's only 2 minutes long. 2 minutes long, and we're still talking about it 156 years later. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, maybe every sermon should be about 2 minutes long. And if you're keeping score, I've only got about a minute and 10 seconds left. But this is going to be longer than 2 minutes. Someone once noted, no one has ever complained of a sermon or a speech being too short. President Lincoln understood that brevity did not undercut quality. In fact, in his day, he was known as an oratorical master of stump speeches. Now, this idea of the so-called stump speech dates back to 19th century American politics, when politicians would go from region to region stumping, or highlighting what they planned to do while in office, emphasizing their thoughts about America, stressing key words and phrases to be memorized, and over time, they would basically give the same speech in different areas. It was as if they had one good sermon, and they would basically give it all the time. The term stumping came from the practice of politicians using a tree stump or an actual sawed-off portion of a log to stand on so that the audience could see them more visibly and hear them with more clarity. In the Dictionary of Americanisms, published in 1848, it noted that some stump speeches were delivered from a table or a chair or even a whiskey barrel. Today, one might view the chapel pulpit as a stump where we, as preachers and proclaimers of the word, stump for Jesus every week. Lincoln stumped, and he revealed that you can't underestimate a stump speech because something so small, something so short, even 2 minutes long, can have a huge, lifelong impact. One word, one phrase, one idea, one stump can make a difference. Stumps reveal that a tree has been cut down. that there used to be something growing there. But what we often forget when we approach stumps is that there are roots that still remain underneath the ground. We may view stumps as leftover stubs from a once great past, a lingering remnant of a previous heyday, a memorial to a fascinating history, a sacrament of the old, something that was once alive but is perhaps near death, even though still present. And the memory lives on even through the physical stump. It's a reminder that the past is still present, though not in its grand form. The past is not out of sight. It is just lurking underneath the surface. And maybe it's not a sign that life is over, but that life is about to begin. Maybe it's a sign that there is a future. But many times when we see stumps, we just drive by because it appears that what was once there is gone. The best of what it had to offer us and the world around it has come and gone. In Isaiah's time, the glory of the nation of Israel appeared to be over. The Davidic kingdom is nothing but a stump. The stump of Jesse. Not a stump speech that holds on to something or gives ideals, but the remnant of a tree, of a people who have basically been devastated. And the prophet Isaiah, throughout his early writings, uses this agricultural imagery to depict how Israel, how this vineyard of God will be made a waste and devoured in the fifth chapter. It will be overrun with briars and thorns that pervade a people. In the ninth chapter, we hear about Isaiah's deforestation in the way in which the mighty will fall like majestic trees all the way into the tenth chapter before bringing us to this remnant, to this stump here in the 11th chapter. This stump may be a sign, maybe a symbol of a fallen monarchy, of past hopes that are now lost, that are now reduced to an insignificant size or portion. Because it's just a stump, people came to this and approached it and thought that their best days were over, rather than that the best days were yet to come. Because the reality is no one's going to create a Facebook appreciation page for a stump. I mean, someone probably has, but no right-minded person would create a Facebook appreciation post for a stump. No one wants to be broadcast with the feeling of being cut down. No one wants to identify with being lost or forgotten. But the reality that many of us live into is that we feel stumped like that at times. Cut off or cut down to size without the promise of spring ever returning. What was once a terrific and glamorous life seems to have turned horrific and at least becomes more humble in scale. And we never requested to be stumped when we laid our heads down to sleep. It seemed to have just happened to become stumped. So stumped, you'd rather be stuck in bed all day with the curtains closed, torn apart from a life that was. Standstill, stagnant, stymied, stuck, stumped. So what do you do when you are stumped? To whom do you turn? To what do you turn? Some people fill that void with alcohol or drugs or internet or relationships or food or anything that tries to resemble control over our lives. Very rarely do we call on the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet Isaiah is not afraid to start us there in our reading today. Isaiah talks about the Spirit and reveals the fruit of the Spirit, not as we read in Galatians and Paul's writings, but the fruit of the Spirit as present in a stump. A sign that life may not be over. A sign that life is just beginning. As Isaiah talks about that agricultural imagery in chapters 5 through 10, he talks about the stump being a holy seed. The stump, though cut off at the top, still has roots in the soil. And the stump of Jesse remains standing, is a reminder that God is not finished with Israel yet. God is not finished with us yet. God will never let us go. The stump still has roots as the mustard seed is planted and grows to be one of the largest bushes, as Jesus proclaims in Mark's gospel. Stumps are not popular, but they are reminders that God is not finished with us yet, that we are still part of God's creation, and what looked like or may have been full bloom in the past will change because God is at work to renew, to revive, and to refashion it for us. The stump may be a remnant. It may be barren. It may be left over, but the stump may be the very source of our salvation. So don't despise being stumped, no matter how difficult it may be, because your salvation may actually come from your stumpedness. Psychologists believe that if you're stumped by a problem, if you're stuck, you should seek the obscure. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, when you're stuck, try and come up with something obscure that might not make logical sense, but ends up being something that provides light. There's a story of shanties in the Philippines that used electricity to light their homes during the daytime, and it would often cause brownouts and blackouts because electricity was a valued resource at the time. Finally, someone filled a used 2-liter bottle of Coke, drilled a hole through the ceiling so that the daylight would come in and refract through the light found in the 2-liter bottle, because water reflects light at 360 degrees. Water became more than just a drink because someone sought the obscure, because they tried to get around more than just a stump, and they found that light can be found everywhere, even in the midst of being stumped. A stump may mean more than just being stuck. When one sees a stump, that may be all that we see, but there's more to a stump than just being stumped. It's because that Isaiah reveals this through repetition, that the stump does not sit there alone. The Spirit is present. When Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord," the Spirit. And the mention of the Spirit here in Isaiah should clue us into something. Throughout the biblical witness, the Spirit is the presence and the power of God. And many times when the Spirit is mentioned, the Spirit is linked with giving life. Whether hovering over the waters of creation in Genesis, or empowering the speech of the Hebrew prophets, or initiating the birth of Christ, or sparking the resurrection of Jesus, or bringing the future of God into the present, or falling upon the tongues of the disciples in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit is there to bring new life. As Paul writes in Romans, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as he writes later in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit's present in the stump means that we don't have to be. It means that God has not given up on us. It means that the promise of Advent, of waiting, reminds us that God always comes to us even when we've been stumped or stuck for a long time, because a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. Through a reading, we see that Jesus is the shoot. Jesus is the promised King to come in power and to redeem all of creation. And what a power it is. Power to redeem a stump so that it will flourish again and bear fruit. Power to create something big out of something so small. A shoot from the seed of a stump will be the hope of a new creation sparked by the Spirit. A future stems from the stump whose roots are watered in the baptism of the Spirit. And that is what the Spirit of God does through the stump. It establishes a new creation, a world of justice, of righteousness, of faithfulness, forgiveness, reconciliation, peace, security, harmony, rest, playful joy, innocence, abandonment, vulnerability, mutual trust, and a world that this world sorely desires, a world with the scriptural motto, as we read in Isaiah, "They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain." It's the spirit that builds community between the natural enemies of predators and prey, where the calf and the lion will lie down together and a little child will lead them. It is the spirit's world. And that's the promise of Advent, a resting place where we'll study war no more and commune with each other as God's creation, a vision of a different world than this one that has internal reach and eternal importance. In other words, a world-changing new creation through God's presence, where we put down our guard and realize that God has not, will not, and cannot abandon us. And this season of Advent proclaims that Jesus is the shoot, the royal branch that grows from a tree until he is crucified on a tree and is resurrected from the dead, always stumping for us, even if it costs him his life. Advent reveals that there is one who has come and is coming to restore and renew all things, so that we might be freed to be who God made us to be. One people, one creation, one beloved community, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit in which a passion for what is possible is present. The future may stem from a stump, but our future will not be stumped. As Howard Thurman writes, the roots are silently at work in the darkness of the earth against a time when there shall be new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit. Such is the growing edge. A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow from it. The promise to us during the season of Advent is that the stump does not represent the best days that have come and gone, but they represent the best days for us. Your best days, our best days are yet to come, because one small stump can make a world of difference. One small shoot can save. So the next time you see a stump, take a good look at it, because you may be looking at your own salvation. So what do you see when you see these wires and these branches? Do you see a stump, or do you see hope? Throughout the next 4 weeks, we will have an opportunity to add not leaves to this tree, but stars, sources of light, in which the ministries of this place, of this church, of Fayetteville First United Methodist Church, provide means of salvation, sources of hope and peace and joy and love for all the world. When this service is over today, you will be invited, after our sung congregational response, to come down and take a star and take it home and write something on the star that has changed your life because of this place. What is it that has brought you peace? Where have you found joy? Where have you experienced God's love? How do you look for hope in the midst of the darkness? And then on Epiphany Sunday, January 5th, we will not see stumps or branches. We will see the light of Christ made possible through the ministries of Fayetteville First United Methodist Church. Whether it's a ministry or a moment, whether it is a story or a structure, whether it is a program or a person, you are invited to make that source of joy and hope known through our ministry and through our presence together. So the only question that remains for us when we look at this barren tree is, do you see what I see? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.